In July of 2013, it was estimated that it took an hour to get help in the city of Detroit if you called an ambulance or the police. So the city called a financial ambulance and conceded to the world that it was to be the largest municipal bankruptcy filing in American history. $18 billion in debt. 40% of its streetlights were not functioning. The population of Detroit had fallen from a high of 2 million in 1950 to less than 700,000. Today, a year after putting bankruptcy behind it, the city's finances are in much better shape. Quinn Kleinfelder, senior news editor at WDET, reports it will take some skill to keep the progress going, though.
It's out of bankruptcy, but it has a really razor-thin financial cushion. There's about over $1 billion general fund that they can move around and do things with. City officials say that if they go even $10 million over that billion off of the so-called plan of adjustment, which is the blueprint that they follow coming out of bankruptcy, if they get $10 million off of that, it will mess up the entire picture. The situation could, in essence, collapse. And there's a lot of investment coming into the city. But at the same time, it's all on this really thin financial tightrope.
Who made the haircut? Who got the haircut? And how does the haircut look on some of the people who are having to live with it?
Well, it depends who you talk to. The bond markets are not particularly happy in terms of how things played out. They will say that they got far less in some of the payments than, say, the city retirees whose pensions were lost as well because of this. But the pensions weren't completely lost. They had a very unique situation where some foundations and the state of Michigan put in some money to try to ease the cuts to the pensioners. And so they lost about 4.5% only of their pension. But they also lost money that people had saved, what they call a clawback, where they say that you got too much interest rates off of the money that was saved. And so all the savings the city had been putting in for these workers over their 20, 30 years that they worked, they lost all of those. Healthcare benefits went away in the bankruptcy. And in fact, they still meet now. They're still trying to pursue some litigation, some of these pensioners. I spoke with one recently named Sheila Baker, who was saying that the situation still at this point both amazes and saddens her.
It went from $73 a month for a single person to $400 a month for me. It makes no sense how they just messing over my money. Again, you know, because while we were working, 30 years while we were working, we took concessions knowing that at the end we were going to have a decent pension. And then for them to mess with us at the end.
Is she surviving, Sheila Baker, there?
She is, but she's struggling to an extent. The money that she was talking about is the money for her monthly health care premium, which was, you know, 70-some dollars, and now is about five times that or so. When you go to these meetings, they have them at church, and they're basically praying, you know, that somebody will come and try to help them in their situations.
Do people see the changes? Do they see the investments coming into the city, and they talk about it?
Yeah, it's very noticeable, actually, in terms of particularly in the downtown area, and that stretches towards where the university, Wayne State University area, is at. And in those areas, it's simply booming. You see lots of construction everywhere. They're putting in a new light rail line. The company Quicken Loans, their founder Dan Gilbert, brought his headquarters downtown a while back, and he's brought in tons of people. And so there's a sense that stuff is happening, that it's going forward, and that all this investment is there. At the same time, there's concerns when you talk to some of the people in the outerlying communities about whether they're going to be included in the plan. It's gentrification on steroids in many ways. For instance, I spoke with a guy who rides the bus regularly, James Jordan. He looks around the area downtown by where the major bus terminals are, sees what's happening there in terms of construction, and then looks where he lives, which is one of the many neighborhoods in Detroit that still is rife with high unemployment rates, high crime rates, high poverty rates, and he wonders what's going to happen.
There's still a disconnect. Okay, they're opening a Nike shop, but you never hear about a new housing development or a new grocery store being built in the heart of the neighborhood. There's still a feeling like when you come to certain places downtown, we're almost not wanted.
And some of those people, when they talk about that, they will lay that in racial terms as well. When he's talking about we're not wanted, I asked him off tape then about, you know, who's the we? He said blacks, which, you know, Detroit is a massively majority African-American city and has been for decades. One of the phrases they use is that they see the lightening of downtown, meaning that there's a large segment of white people and a large segment of younger people coming in. At the same time, that's exactly what the city is hoping for. Not necessarily in racial terms, of course, but in terms of people bringing in money, people improving the tax base. And that's the kind of thing they need in order to go forward. And the city has taken lots of different steps to try to make Detroit a place people would want to live in.
Is that a problem for the mayor?
It is a challenge in terms of the overall school situation, which is not great, in terms of how things are going, trying to move some of these properties. Some of the abandoned buildings that are being torn down, the cost of tearing them down has gone far beyond what it used to be prior to bankruptcy. And the mayor will say it's because they have to do some more environmental cleanup and things that they hadn't done prior to these days. But the fact that that has to be done is no question at all to people, that they need to try to either get people into houses that they can refurbish, that are salvageable, and somehow try to create new communities, or at least strengthen the ones that are here. And at the same time, get rid of these huge pockets of blight everywhere, which are magnets for crime and poverty, etc. When you talk to the mayor, he will say that they have accomplished quite a lot in terms of getting the transit system better, in terms of garbage pickup, which is a regular thing now and hadn't been in Detroit for a while. But the mayor, Mike Duggan, he'll also say that, you know, there are quite a few challenges that remain.
You know, the biggest thing is we have to get more jobs into this city. We have to cut car insurance. We got to deal with the schools. And those things aren't necessarily city government, but they certainly impact citizens' lives every day, and they're things that we're working very hard at.
They also impact whether or not people would want to look at Detroit as a place to move in. And that's where the city officials say the soft spot could be, is the property tax revenue. If you don't get enough people in and expand that tax base, then you're not going to necessarily have the money you need to actually move the city forward.
Quinn Kleinfelder, senior news editor at WDET in Detroit. Thanks so much, Quinn.
Thank you, as always, John.